faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. In the beginning was the Word.
Friends, would you pray with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts together be always acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Strawberries. Let me talk to you about strawberries. This very week, 7 of them have ripened on my plants at home. They are tiny, they are deep in color, they are intense in flavor, and I grew them my very own self. They are the tartest, sweetest, most lovely fruits. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. They are joined this week in ripeness and loveliness by the several quarts of farmers market strawberries that I stocked up on because the farm stand manager, Jan, said that the 90-degree weather on the way was going to take out the last of the beauties of this season. It was a late spring, and it seems to have switched over to an early and hot summer. Once again, thank you, climate change and global weirding. But Jan said, you come back next week, and we'll have the first raspberries. She knows that my boy can finish a box of raspberries before I manage to pay for them. There was one year when we went up and picked a gallon ourselves. It was hot out there on the farm that day, but my boy stayed hydrated with raspberry juice dripping down onto his shirt. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. Thank you, Zach, for giving me permission to tell that story. Blackberries are not ripe yet. They come later in the summer most years. 4 summers in a row, the children at a day camp that we co-led with the Brighton-Alston UCC went on pilgrimage to the very back border of that churchyard to look to see if there were raspberries on the vines falling down that wall, full and ripe. Some of those kids did not have regular access to fruit, so these were especially precious. And one summer, when our theme was, no kidding, fruits of the Spirit, we took them across the street in Brighton Center to Johnny. Hello, I'm fine. To Johnny D's fruit stand. There's a Johnny D's in Brighton, and it is a fruit stand. Everyone had a basket to put their favorites into. And then, and I tell you, like I've never had a more Mr. Rogers moment in my entire life, the local beat cop walked in the door of the fruit stand to say hello to Johnny, as he did every morning on his route, and the neighborhood kids got to chat with him, and on that day, everybody was okay. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Tomatoes. Tomatoes are also a summer fruit. I don't love them myself. I have been told that for some folks, there is nothing more delicious than a warm tomato picked from the vine, luscious and juicy, maybe with a little salt sprinkled on and eaten in the sunshine. Raise your hand if that is like your favorite thing in life. Okay, I don't get it, but that's fine. Tomatoes, not my favorite, but in the summertime, I always think of tomatoes on a hot July day in Tampa. When I was one of hundreds of UCC folks who left General Synod that year for a little while to go walk around the Publix with the Coalition of Immolaki Workers in a strike for fair wages and conditions for tomato pickers in Florida, The UCC is still working with that coalition, even recognizing them last week at our national gathering in Milwaukee. This coalition and their supporters have won agreements from 14 major food sellers and restaurant chains and corporations. They have, in their own words, eliminated modern-day slavery in that industry in Florida. They have reduced sexual harassment and increased wages for workers, and they've created a fair food program, and every tomato that you eat that was picked by members of the Coalition of Milwaukee Workers is sweeter for it. Those tomatoes I love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. The fruit of the Spirit is justice. The fruit of the Spirit is liberation. The fruit of the Spirit is freedom. Your preacher last week, Rachel Payne, didn't she preach a word on Paul? She spent some time talking about the dichotomy that Paul developed between Jewish law and Christian faith, and as she pointed out, it's a false dichotomy that perhaps came out of Paul's own anxiety about whether he was welcomed and beloved. When I spoke with you last time I was here, I preached from a section of Acts which chronicled a struggle between Peter and Paul and their followers over part of the Jewish law of circumcision. Peter, in that passage from Acts, had a vision that moved him to support Christians who were from Jewish or Gentile backgrounds and moved the church towards a new kind of inclusion. So then we moved to Galatians, and we find out that we're back to the same argument. We find out two things in Galatians. According to Paul, at least, Peter succumbed to pressure and went back to expecting Gentile men to be circumcised to join the church. Out of fear for the circumcision faction, it reads in Galatians chapter 2. And we learn that Paul could just not get over his conflict with Peter and his issues around what folks have to do to be Christian. When folks came to Galatia to preach circumcision again, Paul got anxious and angry, as we do when we get that way. He develops a stark contrast between his position and theirs. To make his point about welcoming Gentiles, Paul comes very close to rejecting Jewish practice and Jewish law. But then, in this chapter, Paul comes right back to the law. Freedom from the law, Paul winds up arguing, brings you back to the law. Ironically, Paul's insistence on freedom from the law is supported by quoting the law. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he's not quoting Jesus here. He's quoting Leviticus. Then we get to the heart of this chapter, in which Paul presents another dichotomy, but this one I think is actually a little more useful and helpful, more fruitful even. Paul presents this dichotomy between the flesh and the spirit. Now, wait. You're saying, wait, Rebe. Separation of the spirit and the body is completely a terrible idea. And furthermore, everyone in this room groans at the thought that Paul or someone writing in Paul's name says elsewhere in the Bible a lot of really terrible things about bodies and flesh, words that have been used to oppress women and LGBT folks. But in this chapter, I want to propose that when Paul is talking about flesh and spirit, he's not literally contrasting flesh and spirit. He's actually delineating between self-centeredness and neighborliness, individualism and interdependence. You know that because when you hear what the things he condemns are, they're all things in which you're not in right relationship. And when he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, they're moments when you're in right relationship. Focus on self is self-absorption, on flesh is self-absorption and self-promotion. The Spirit is a spirit of community and mutuality. I can tell you that I got this framing from a lot of different commentators, but I want to quote one in particular from out in Scripture, the Human Rights Campaign biblical commentary that comes out weekly. Galatians 5:1 and onward brings memories of both treasures and traumas. Paul begins and ends with this wonderful proclamation of grace. And yet, as soon as people hear the word flesh, they default into a legalistic and punitive theology. We're reminded that flesh was Paul's shorthand for the lower carnal mind, a life driven by fear rather than love. But Galatians 5:14 reminds us that the fulfillment of the law is to love your neighbor as yourself. When everything is hung on this anchor, we hear it more responsibly for ourselves and for others. Free, embodied people consult deeply with their bodies as they relate to other bodies, with the God who is embodied in Christ. Thinking about freedom that way, I come to my own paraphrasing of the beginning of this chapter. For freedom, Christ has set us free. For the freedom of all, Christ has freed us. To liberate everyone, Christ has liberated us. And therefore, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of this freedom to free everyone, is oriented to our community, our siblings in Christ, our neighbors, and our world. Freedom's a big topic this week. We're getting ready to celebrate freedom. We talk a lot about freedom in the United States leading up to Independence Day. And we talk a lot about the freedom of the individual. But Paul's description of freedom is freedom that liberates an entire community. In other words, when Paul says we are free in Christ, the freedom that he is promoting is the freedom to act in love. And when we act in love, this fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is neighborliness. The fruit of the Spirit is justice. The fruit of the Spirit is mutual liberation. This Thursday, many of us will be praying for and advocating for the freedom and liberation of folks who cross our borders, yearning for freedom, remembering that until all of us are free, none of us are free. Instead of waving a flag, many of us will be staring at and praying over a picture of a father and daughter face down in a river. Emma Lazarus, whose words are on the Statue of Liberty, wrote, "Until all of us are free, none of us are free." Being free means being able to live freely, joyfully, kindly, generously, faithfully into that greatest commandment, to love our neighbors as ourselves until all of us are free. Now, I don't know if Pastor Day is following the lectionary and continuing with Galatians next week, but if so, here's a little sneak preview from the beginning of chapter 6. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. This summer, let us bear one another's burdens, seek one another's freedom, walk alongside our neighbors, and enjoy the sweet, ripe, luscious fruit of the Spirit. Amen.
256. Thank you. Hymn number 256. We're going to do verses 1 and 4, and I'll play it once through.
At First Church, we pray in three moments. In the first moment, we pray for our world, ourselves, and those we love. In the second moment, we offer our prayers of thanksgiving for the blessings we have received. In the third moment, we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. All the while we sing, the words to our prayer response are printed in your bulletin. We pray out loud together. It is okay to be loud so that all can hear. And though we want to hear your prayers, it is okay to be soft or even to be silent. It is okay for 2 or 3 or 10 of us to pray at once. God will sort them all out. Prepare our hearts now for prayer and let us pray together. Holy God, we come to you in our suffering, our confusion, and concern. Our hearts are broken for the pain in the world, and we are seeking a way forward. Hear now these prayers. Prayers for children who were sent to the detention center, being separated from their families. Lord, in your mercy, hear prayers.
To make the wound.
God, we ask you to help us to recognize the blessings we have received so that these joys might empower all that we do. Hear now our prayers of thanksgiving. Thank you for the fruit of the Spirit you've given us to taste. God, for your blessings, hear prayers. When the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, he told them these words that we would always have a means to connect to the great mystery, the creator of all life and the mother of us all. Jesus told us pray, saying,
Friends, I want to make sure that you have received your July announcements. Yes? Get one on your way out if you do not yet have it. There are several announcements both on that piece of paper and that Pastor Day has left for us, and even one that she does not know everything about. That one I will do first next Sunday. This congregation will celebrate 2 years with its settled lead pastor, Pastor Day. All right. And I do believe that Elizabeth Davini has sent out lots of emails about this, but wave your hand again. She's the one to talk to. Am I right about this? Okay. Lots of exciting things happening next Sunday, including a party in Powder House Park after worship. The week following that, Pastor Day is going to be out at the Credo Convocation, out from July 9th to July 12th. July 21st is a very important date. It is the blessing of the animals. Get ready! And a couple of more things to know. Facebook Live Prayers starts back tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock on the First Somerville private Facebook page. And if you are not part of that and want to be part of that, send a note over to Pastor Day to make sure you can get added to the private Facebook group and be part of that. Next Sunday, our coffee clatches will take a couple of weeks off, and we'll switch over to coffee, popsicles, and ice cream, except for that there's something special happening with Pastor Day's anniversary, so maybe that'll start later. And finally, in July, no diesel hours. Okay? That's what I know. And now, friends, we all give in different ways to this community. And we honor every way that you give to this beloved community. The gifts of your time, your talents, and your treasures are shared here for the common good. If you give electronically, we are grateful for that, and you can place a card in the from the pews, you got it, into the plate to indicate that and have this be a moment of your own offering. You may also place prayer requests or guest cards in the basket. Those are in the back of the pews. So with all of that in mind and giving thanks for the wonderful gift of David and Gianna's music, the morning offering will now be received gratefully. with our blessing hands extended here to the offering. We honor these gifts given electronically and here today. Bless those, O God, who have committed to share their time, their talents, and their resources. We give thanks for the tithers and the pledges and all who share their resources for the common good. And we promise to you, O God, to use these gifts faithfully. We pray in the name of the one who came to unbind us from fear, hate, and oppression, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Please remain standing if you're able for our final hymn, number 597. We're going to sing verses 1 and 4.
May the Spirit that was in Jesus be in us also, enabling us to know the truth, to do the will of God, and to abide always in God's peace. Amen.